Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
It was a no-go.
It's one thing I got from grandma's. I always clean my fans, except I just had put it off.
To be completely fair, the fan that I had probably come from the dollar store to begin with.
Oh, no, so I'll have a fan for like 10 plus years. I'll keep them till they burn out.
Mm-hmm. Kim, can you fold your phone out closer to you? There you go.
Oh, look, we're shoulder to shoulder now.
Now straighten your shirt out because we're getting your boobs.
I mean,
we got to up the listener count somehow.
Good God.
Show a little nipple.
She's showing something.
I was watching I was editing one of them yesterday, and it looked like Shane was the shortest one.
Oh, yeah.
And I was cracking up.
It does. Well, right now, you are the middle one, and Josh is the tallest one.
Our shoulders are equal to Kim, but my neck's a lot longer. We look like we're conjoined, Kim.
Well, don't do that, Kim. You look like a frog.
No, giraffe.
You not look like a giraffe?
Rabbit.
Rabbit. Now, what were you talking? Oh, Kim's fan went out.
Yeah, my fan in my bedroom went out.
The struggle.
I'm telling you.
Don't you feel bad for me?
So many things are going out at your house. I'm just waiting.
I don't even want to talk about it.
I'm just waiting for the house to go down.
You just shut your face.
My old house caught on fire. The one I lived at right before we moved here to Wabash.
Really?
My friend just texted me. She was like, oh, your old house you live in.
Your old landlord died and the house caught on fire.
Her granddaughter was living in it, and she came home one day and walked inside, and it was real smoky. And the room that was mom's room is like, oh, just scorched to hell. Like, oh,
how about that?
I could have lost all
my shit. Probably a demon.
Right. I was like, I could have lost all my shit. Oh, thank God.
It was that old lady because she's being nosy.
Probably.
Our granddaughter's just a horrible person anyway. She's probably like, get the hell out, you mooching.
Right.
Probably.
Luckily,
I left this world. I'm going to take the house with me.
Right. Well, luckily, she had just given up custody of her two boys to her ex-husband. So neither one of her children were living there.
That's
so
good.
Thankfully, because that was their room. I'm like, those poor boys, they go through enough with her as a mother, let alone would have hated to lose what little stuff they did have. Mm-hmm. There's nothing I hate worse than a deadbeat mom. Deadbeat dads, you know, you hear about them often.
We know about that.
But a everyone hears mom, about it. When it's like Christmas Eve and she's like, oh, I got my 2 8- and 9-year-old boys a coloring book. And it's not like, you know, people go through hard times, and not everybody has a lot of money to buy presents, but that wasn't the case for her. It was just lack of care. Like, oh, a coloring book for Christmas is all right. I'm like, oh my God.
Meanwhile, she's probably buying herself all this
getting
stuff.
Getting her car wrapped and getting her nails done, you know, all that. I'm like, I give more to my dog than she thought to give to her children.
You want to know about a damn dog? My mother spoils her dog worse than she ever spoiled any of us children.
And Kim ain't bitter about it, though.
Not at all.
I harass her
about it all the time.
Oh, my gosh.
That dog eats better than you do.
And you tell your mom the next time you see her, I hope she dies soon. Because every time I get in Kim's dang car, she does not put that stupid front seat. And there, you know, I don't know why. Every time I try to get in Kim's car, I forget that Kim's mom is short as all sin. And I'll almost break my dang knees getting in the car.
It's funny because she'll try to get in the car after he's been in it. So then she kind of falls in and just kind of falls back. Falls to the back. So then she fixes it. And then he gets trying to get into it next.
I break my knee in the
back. Break his knees.
I'm like, well, you know, at least she can get in.
Right.
I'm going to break my knee.
Break it.
So every time I'm like halfway and Kim goes, oh, my mom is in here. You're going to put the seat back.
Calm down.
I try to remember to tell you, but I don't always do.
If me and her mom could get along, we might be able to find like a halfway point. We could just keep the seat. But no, we always do extreme. Like she'll put the seat all the way up and forward, and I'll put it all the way down and back just to
be she extreme. She's going to be laying down.
Uh-huh. She'll always yell, Shane.
And I'll always yell, Kim's old mom.
Just wait.
Oldest time.
When I go to edit this, I'm going to record that part and send it to her.
Well, you tell her when she dies in a couple of years, I'm not going to her funeral.
You will.
I will not.
You will.
I will not.
You would let me go without you?
Well, first of all,
I don't go to funerals. I bet.
I don't know. I hate funerals. First, I'm just going to tell you, the idea of people putting bodies and displaying them, disgusting. I can't stand it. I don't like it. But anyway, I've been to her mom's house. She is one of those people. Her mom's house reminds me of like a Hobby Lobby. There's just crap. And it's not like, it's not messy.
Oh,
she's not a hoarder.
No, she.
But it's real clean. And everything has a place. Real nice, real clean.
Well, like my house.
But someday, Josh, when we drive, like we're going to be driving to Kim's or something. I'm going to drive you by her house. She's just got, it's like our grandma times 100. Like the moment you drive by the front yard, it's that's not a big yard.
That's my dad.
She lives with them. So
that's my
whoever, you can blame it on whoever it is.
She lets him do that to keep
there's all these knickknacks in the yard. Oh, I've never heard of this. I've heard of people having knickknacks in the house.
Oh, it's,
I mean,
it's bad.
And when you think there might be some like I'm telling you, there's knickknacks in the yard. There's no space for more knickknacks in a yard.
Oh,
and it's not
me.
A big yard.
Believe me, Dad can find more space for knickknacks. Mom lets him do it because it keeps him out of her hair.
I've probably seen it, just didn't realize it was her mom.
Oh, no. If you've seen it, you would know.
Oh, yeah. You would know.
Like every time I've been with Kim and we've pulled up to her mom's house, it's almost
he just busts out laughing.
It's almost like I can just see the moment because I was there when they moved into that house. I'm just like imagining her neighbor thinking, oh, good. We have an older couple moving next door. We don't have any riffraff right. or, you know, kids going to be
old
partying.
Old people always take good care of the yard.
And then all of a sudden they start putting stuff outside, you know, a little rabbit here and there, a little fence here and there around the rabbits, and then a little trail leading up to the rabbits.
Oh, my gosh.
But, oh, my God, like around every tree there's, like, stuff. And I'm telling you, it is just so much stuff. That you could be there for hours and you won't see it all.
She always tells me, if your dad goes first, all this crap's going.
There's not going to be enough room. They could go to that huge cemetery in Indianapolis. I'm not going to find enough room to bring them in. Let's dig a 100-foot hole.
Bless them.
Yeah.
Maybe that gravel pit.
No, I do like a nice, fully decorated. Like, I would classify my taste as eclectic maximalism. Like, I want it to feel like my house, like I am a wizard and I am just surrounded by all of my treasures for my many journeys.
Oh,
that's exactly what my mom's house is.
Yes.
Like I'll have to look when we get done.
It's my sanctuary, yeah. And I want it to
when we get done recording, I will look and see if I can find pictures. I know I've taken pictures of the outside before, so you can see the outside.
I dust all my tchotchkes.
Is her inside like that?
Yes.
What's your mom's inside look like?
Well, the house isn't. I mean, it's not a big house. It's not a big yard.
It's not.
But the moment that you start seeing the outside, you're just thinking, what the crap is going on here? These white people have too much time.
That's exactly what it is.
It is. It's some white people who got too much
trash
time.
And I'm in
trouble. They're addicted, and they're addicted to Goodwill. They go to Goodwill and they find something really nice. They're like, I got to get that.
We put this in the yard. Yeah. A lot of the stuff is like knickknacks in the yard. Yeah. I mean, there's just all these scenes. It's just,
she has way too much furniture. So, story. A couple years ago, I bought a TV stand that has a electric fireplace, right? Well, after I bought mine, my mom loved it. She's like, I need to get one of those. So her and dad go buy one. He's my stepdad, but I call him, he's my dad. So my dad and her goes and finds them a new TV stand that has an electric fireplace on it. They build it. They put it up. Mom says, okay, we'll put this other one up for sale. Dad's like, oh, no, no, that'll fit right here. That house is wall-to-wall furniture.
Oh, God.
Wall-to-wall furniture. And I don't know how they get it all in there.
I don't know. I mean, the thing is like, if one of them fell, I can just imagine them calling an ambulance and, like, the ambulance showing up, be like, where's he at? The back room. Okay.
Tear down the wall. Yeah. We can't get him over here.
We can cut the wall in the back. That's exactly how it would work.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, it's completely spotless. Now, she doesn't have dust or nothing.
I know
they,
no, and the outside, I mean, I don't know how they, they're weed eating them. That's the crazy part to me. I mean, it's very clean. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, there's a lot of knickknacks, but is there any, like, collectibles? Do they collect anything, or they just collect everything?
Everything. Okay. They collect everything. They can
find. Yeah. I mean, it just reminds me of, like, they go to the Goodwill, and they're just thinking, oh, I like this little thing. I like this. And they just fill up a cart.
Now, back in the day, when I was younger, my mom collected bells, and she collected music boxes. So she had a lot of bells and a lot of music boxes. And before they moved, because they lived in a big two-story farmhouse, and once they got older, that got to be too much for them. So they wanted a smaller, you know, cuter house closer to town so that if something happened, it wouldn't take forever and a day for an ambulance to get to them. So they moved right outside of a little bitty town. And now I forgot where I was going with the story. God, I hate when that happens.
Help her, Lord.
I can't remember. Maybe if we unplug her.
Hello.
What was we talking about?
Your mom has a bunch of stuff. She's moving back to town.
Big old farmhouse.
Yeah, so they couldn't keep all the stuff in the farmhouse because they had
to move. She was justifying her.
So, yeah, so she had all of these bells and all of these music boxes. And she told me and my sister, when I die, you get the bells, you get the music boxes. I'm talking about probably 200 bells.
Jesus.
50 or 60 okay. music boxes.
Lovely. We don't and I'm want like, it, Mom.
What in the am I going to do with 200 bells? Okay. I kept telling her, Mom, they're just going to go to the Goodwill because I don't
start
want
a handbell choir.
But you get a bell. You get a bell. I think everybody gets a bell.
When they moved, I think she got rid of 95% of them. I don't think there's hardly any of them left, if there's any of them left. But
every person, all of her friends that are dying off, she just puts a bell in their casket. Here you go, Susie. Here's the bell.
I'm real big into getting into, I think it's called Granny Core, where it's like, it sounds dirty, but it's like grandma-inspired decorations. Like, you know, stuff that, you know, your grandma would have had at her house. Like right now I have those, the little brass-looking jello molds.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've got like five or six of those on the wall above my coffee maker. Mm-hmm. I love it. My little throat.
I bet it's cute.
I do have, I believe it's the world's largest crocheted throw blanket. And one of my residents made it for me. She had came to the facility as a new resident and was very anxious and didn't want to get out and do anything. So I was like, she crochets. So every time I'd go to Walmart, I'd get her a few skeins of yarn. And, you know, I thought she was just, you know, be making of throw blankets for multiple people. You know, just smaller things, no? Every time I'd walk by there for months, she'd be crocheting, working along. And one day she wheels herself down to my office with a trash bag. I'm like, oh.
Trash bag.
I'm like, oh, what's this? What's this you have? And she's like, oh, it's all that yarn you gave me. I made you a blanket. And I was like, oh, you know, you didn't have to make it for me. There's a lot of old, cold people around this facility that could have used a blanket. Mm-hmm. No, she wanted me to have it. Very adamant. And I took it home, and it is longer than my couch. Like, I could drape it over my couch as like a slip cover, and it would still hang off on the sides.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like three of me long. I'll bring it in one day. Oh, my God. I've never seen a larger handmade crocheted blanket. She said, bless her heart. She just couldn't stand her. She cut off. She's the one resident that I lost my patience on. Because she wasn't very old. She was dementia. I was just like, thank you for this giant blanket I've not going to use, probably.
Yeah, that's crazy that she was mean to you and then gave you a blanket.
Yeah,
I'd be like, well, this has cyanide.
Like, I thought it was going to be a bag of shit when she brought it. I was like, oh, this, she brought me her trash. How nice of her.
How nice of you.
And she was like, I made you this giant blanket. And I'm like, oh.
Really? She just wanted to get out of her room.
She probably cursed it.
Probably.
Oh, yep. I bet that's what she did. She
I hope this doesn't bring him any more women.
Right.
Dang it.
No, she was one of those where, like, she was so kept sheltered that she really didn't know what, like, gay and stuff was. And, you know, a lot of them old women are very nosy and like, are you married? You got kids? Nope.
Trying.
And, you know, I'd be like, no, I was just very vague with it because I'm like, they're dementia. They don't know. And if they do know gay, all they know is from the propaganda of their childhood. Oh, that's bad, sinful. So I'm like, nope. Just a perpetual bachelor. I don't think there's a woman out there that can tie me down. One of them thought we were, was her husband.
Right.
Every morning I come in, she'd be mad. You've been out there tomcatting, which rest in peace, Mary. Some of the women I work with this past week, she's one of those who I would always look up her obituary every once in a while just to make sure she was, it made me feel good knowing old Mary was still alive and
kicking.
But I saw her obituary and I shed a good few tears for her. She's one of the best people I ever met and grateful to have known her.
No.
That is sad.
It is sad.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Growing older has been less mysterious ever since I started using Hormone Harmony to help with the symptoms of menopause. Between the sleepless nights, random hot flashes, mild mood swings, it was making it really difficult to focus, rest, and enjoy myself. Hormone Harmony has helped make traveling around with two young men in a mystery machine a lot more bearable. Hormone Harmony is not just for those of us suffering from menopause. Women who have symptoms of hormonal imbalances can benefit from Hormone Harmony. It has helped guide me through the mystery of menopause into a more harmonious journey through a natural process in each woman's life. The company behind Hormone Harmony, Happy Mammoth, advocates for women and helps them regain control of their hormones. With over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, more women are feeling more like themselves now more than ever. Thank you, Hormone Harmony, for unmasking the monster behind my menopause. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MYSTERY at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MYSTERY for 15% off today.
Are you guys ready for my mystery today?
Yes. Oh, if we have to be.
All right.
It looks long.
Well, I just have it spaced out, Josh. It may not be that long.
You use small font, too, when you printed right before me. And I was like, no wonder he has hard vision. Like, good God. Mm-hmm. That's some tiny font.
Hey, we went long in the last one. We don't need to go long in this one, too. So make it quick. Make it quick.
Read the last page. Kim, no. Right.
All right. So on Patreon, we have a lot of good discussions. And I asked some of our patrons for ideas of future episodes.
Oh, yeah.
And so I got this idea from them. Now, one of them suggested it. I never heard of it. And as soon as I Googled this topic, I saw images. And I thought, OMG, that looks scary AF. I want to go. And also, I don't want to go.
You want to go?
I want to stay very far away. I would probably go, but I wouldn't be able to stay the night there because it would creep me out. Oh. Okay, so I want you to picture this, as Sophia would say. So just pretend that you're going with us to this small island in Mexico City. Okay, tiny island. Kim, you know where I'm talking about? You already Googled it, didn't you? All right. You've heard about it?
I've heard of it.
Okay. So, tiny island, pictures. Mexico City. Now, there are lots of water lilies along the way as we're going out to this small island. You hear a bunch of birds chirping.
Sounds beautiful
now,
and tropic.
It does, yes. But beautiful, tropic, and as pretty as that sounds, I mean, smells good. And all of a sudden, something catches your eye. Something rotten. Hundreds of dolls. Burned dolls, decaying dolls, hundreds of them are staring back at you as you approach this tiny island.
Hell no.
Have you never heard of this, Josh?
No.
It's called the Island of Dolls.
No, if I would have heard of this, I would have kept scrolling. Not for me.
Josh's brain immediately like just scrolled right by it. Didn't even see it. Now, some of these dolls have been burned. They've been out there for many years, so they're decaying. It's very creepy. And I mean, if you can just think of like the scariest type of dolls to be seeing on an island, that's what these look like.
I've been in a room hanging surrounded from trees. By them. I can't imagine a whole island.
It's terrifying. Now, you have like just picture them missing limbs and stuff too. They're
hair
covered
burned
in dirt,
off.
Dirt and grime. They're just covered in everything. Now, the island is called La Isla de las Muñecas.
Muñecas?
The island
de las Muñecas is what we're going to call it. But it does sound like Muñecas.
Muñecas.
All right. So the Island of Dolls. So a little background on the island. So there's a man who went out to go to this island. Now, a little background on the man, though. I thought this was a little weird. The man lived a normal life. Suddenly, he leaves his wife and children and just goes out to go live on the island. So he was a reclusive man. I know. A little odd. He was a reclusive man. And we're talking about the 1950s.
Okay.
So he gets out to this island. He starts living there. It was a quiet, solitary life, as you can imagine. And it's away from the bustling city of Mexico City, which is one of the world's largest cities. So he had taken on the role as the island's caretaker. He lived in a small hut, and he had a small garden that he sustained, and that's how he lived out on this island. The garden is how he, you know, made his own food.
My first step would be get rid of all the damn dolls.
Well, at that time, there were no dolls. Okay. It was just a normal small island. Now, one day, Julian, he finds this lifeless body of this young girl floating in the canal. Now, I saw different reports on this. Basically, there's no real proof of this girl because no one actually like knows where her body is. But legend goes, or the story goes, is people believed that she had drowned. Like she drowned somehow in the canal and her body had washed up and he found her. He had gone out into the water to try to save her, but he couldn't save her. So he constructed this little makeshift like cross thing where he found her so he could always like tell people like, yeah, I found this girl. This is where I found her. So he immediately started telling people about this girl that died. So I don't know why he would have just made this thing up randomly. But again, no one like knows where her body ended up. But shortly after finding this girl, the day after, this doll suddenly shows up. And he assumed that, it must have belonged to that girl that died. So he hangs it up on this tree as kind of like a mark out of respect for that girl. Like, okay, that must have been hers. I'll put it on this tree as just like in her memory. Which, I mean, totally makes sense to me. You know, especially in Mexico where like things have a meaning. So out of respect for her, I'm going to put this on this tree.
Well, they're more culturally superstitious.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, the next day, it was said that another doll washes up And that's kind of like when things start taking a slight turn, because it's in his mind, like, okay, here's another doll. That's odd. And that's when his life starts taking a slight turn, and he starts having this lifelong obsession to collect and hang these dolls. So over the years, he collects dolls from various places. He finds them in trash heaps in Mexico. He brings them back. He finds them in the canal. You know, of course, when you're near a big city like that, you're going to find dolls. So he brings them back to the island. And when people start hearing about him collecting dolls, they want to come to the island to see them, and they'll bring them. And so some people bring them and they leave them.
People will go see anything, won't they?
Right. So,
well, Shane just said he wanted to go see it.
Right. So he believed that these dolls were standing in as a way to protect him from the spirit of this drowned girl and other malevolent entities. Now, you have to keep in mind that this was probably a belief that he had because of a mixture of the belief of the Mexican civilization and Catholicism in Mexico at the time. So they have a big sense of that type of spiritualism and Catholicism. So they have that type of belief system of spirits, and there's evil spirits, and you need things to protect you from evil spirits. Mm-hmm. And so those dolls were a way that he felt would protect him from evil spirits. So each doll in his belief that he was hanging was a form of protection, a form of appeasing those spirits.
Kind of like Southerns, how they'll have jars hanging from trees and stuff to trap the evil spirits inside the jars from getting in the house.
Or like our mom growing up, she always had dream catchers.
Yeah, I've got one above my bed now.
There you go. So he ends up dedicating his entire life to that ritual. I mean, he thought that it was very important that he needed to continue doing it. So he lives, in fact, near poverty. All of his money is going towards finding these dolls, bringing them back to the island, putting them up. So he's just getting by on the basic necessities so that he can continue collecting these dolls.
Lord.
So locals initially, when they hear about this, they think of him as being eccentric. And honestly, they thought, okay, well, he's gone mad. You know, he's crazy. However, eventually they see his dedication and the stories that is coming out of the island with the encounters. There are other stories that I'll get into with encounters with spirits and stuff. And so it starts to give him a reputation as someone who is deeply connected to the supernatural, which has a big belief system in Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
So as word started spreading, people wanted to start going out to visit the island and to see this bizarre collection of dolls. Some were curious, others were skeptical, and many were frightened, and they liked that. They enjoyed it. And, you know, just like I said at the beginning of this, I would like to go, even though I'm not a fan of dolls. I still think it would be cool just to see it and say that I've gone.
I'll drive by on a boat. Look at that, huh?
Right.
Let's go get a margarita.
Right. So the central legend revolves around the spirit of this young girl who had drowned in the canal. According to the local lore, her restless spirit still roams the island today, and she's trying to seek peace. Visitors and locals, they come out to the island, and when they're there, they report seeing apparitions of a little girl wandering around the trees. Specifically, they're saying that they're seeing her around the spot that she had drowned. And some claim to hear a little girl crying at night. Now, he believed that he could also communicate with this girl's spirit, which guided him to collect and display the dolls to appease her. Now, you have to keep in mind that part of Mexico and with their belief system in Catholicism, that could also have something to do with, you know, their beliefs and the sightings. So you have to just keep in mind of, you know, their whole belief system right. as well.
Our family would have just claimed the blood.
Right. So I was going through a lot of like different people who were saying that they saw and felt things, but it was really hard to like figure out what people's were religion was telling them mm-hmm. and what people were actually seeing. So for example, Julian had this like main doll that he kind of used as like a part of his religion. And so he almost used it as a tool of worship. Mm-hmm. And so like he would leave little...
It was like his altar kind of.
Yeah. So he would leave like little gifts for this doll. And the doll was supposed to help heal him or make sure that he, you know, was in good health and stuff. And so that doll was supposed to travel around the island with him at night and walk around at night. But so you had to like, when I was reading through these things, it was really hard to figure out what was actually real and what people were actually hearing, seeing, and feeling.
Right.
And what was their religion and belief system and how to separate that. Because clearly I did not fully believe that that doll was walking around at night with him on the island. So it's just kind of hard to separate the belief system from the actual factual encounters, mm-hmm. trying to get to the bottom of the mystery. So one of the common reports from visitors is the sound of whispering. As they navigate the island, many would report hearing soft and distinct whispers, and they believe those voices to be coming from the dolls themselves, which, I mean, if you see those dolls, if I heard the faintest of whispers...
I rebuke it. My ass would be gone.
Right. I'd be getting back on that boat. And like, yeah, if you are listening to the story, I definitely would Google the island of dolls, like the pictures of those dolls, just to imagine that, like how many dolls are on the island. Maybe it's terrifying.
Maybe
to me.
Her spirit is afraid of all of the dolls. That's
right.
Why she's
too scared to pass on.
She's like, I can't get off the island.
Oh, hell no.
Joss is looking at
hell
pictures.
Hell no.
No, I know.
All that tree's just covered.
And they're like burned and yeah.
Yeah, I've seen pictures.
Well,
of
course,
before.
Post these pictures on Patreon so you'll see them.
But I'll find some good ones.
Yeah.
I found the spot where they died.
So visitors also described whispers as if these dolls are having conversations with themselves or among themselves. And they say that they'll try to communicate with the living. And he also believed, Julian believed, that the dolls were vessels for the spirits, that they spoke to him, so that they were speaking to him through the dolls, and that the dolls would also offer protection and warnings. And I also found numerous accounts that the dolls would appear to move on their own. A lot of visitors would claim to have seen dolls' heads turn or that their eyes would start blinking Mm-mm. or the limbs would start moving their positions.
Nope.
In fact, Julian often spoke of witnessing dolls moving, reinforcing the belief system that they were inhabited by spirits.
Nope.
Some tourists have even captured photos where dolls seem to change positions between shots. And I mean, it's crazy for me to think about, but when you have people who believe in that stuff so much,
right.
if they have a choice to come back and they want to come back and inhabit a doll, I could see that, you know.
Will you play with us? God, right.
Keep
oh,
looking at them terrifying. Dolls on the radio right there, making sure their eyes ain't touching.
Oh my God.
Have you seen my glasses?
Okay, so after his death, many believe that his spirit remained on the island.
Of course it did.
Some visitors have even reported seeing a shadowy figure resembling him, especially near the area where he was found dead. And those who believe in the paranormal still consider Julian's spirit as being a guardian of the island, continuing his mission to protect it from evil forces. A common experience among many visitors is an overwhelming sense of unease as soon as they step on the island.
Well, dolls are creepy as shit,
I know.
Course.
Some describe it as constantly being watched or being followed.
Well, there's hundreds and hundreds of eyes. How could you not feel that way?
A hallway full of portraits. Right. You're gonna feel creepy.
Right. Well, several visitors have reported sudden, intense feeling of sadness or fear. And that just attributes to the emotions and the presence of spirits. A few daring individuals have spent the night on the island, and they have reported vivid nightmares, ghostly apparitions, and even physical touches from invisible entities. Mm-hmm. I would not be spending the night on an island with dolls.
If I did, they wouldn't want me to, because the thing I hate most about it, especially seeing the pictures, is that beautiful island is now polluted
with all
this junk and plastic that's just rotten everywhere, mm-hmm. when it could be a nice, lovely, natural island.
So, of course, people have talked about the island is home to the spirits of this dead girl and Julian, but there are also reports of it also being home to other souls. The dolls are said to house the souls of other spirits, each one representing a different story of tragedy and loss. Local shamans and spiritual leaders go out to the island, and they've shared stories of the island being a nexus of spiritual energy, where the veil between the living and the dead is very, very thin out there. Now, the island has inspired numerous folk tales and urban legends in that region, and it's become a big staple of local storytelling. There's been a haunting allure for the Island of Dolls, and so it's attracted a lot of media attention worldwide. It's appeared on a lot of TV shows, documentaries. I think that I've seen where a paranormal investigation TV show went out there, but I did not watch it because I was like, oh, dolls, no thanks. Nope.
Pretty sure I've seen some YouTube stuff on it.
Oh, I'm sure.
I'd want to go out there and just release them all. Hey, right. Y'all don't have to stay here. Go on to the light.
You don't have to be here.
We're going
to
just leave these dolls. We got to throw them away. They look trashy.
Yeah, I would definitely go out there, and I definitely recommend people looking up photos. Like I said, if you're a Patreon, we'll post photos. Yeah, it was
very creepy.
I know.
One had like sun blisters all over its head.
Yeah.
It looked like Sid from Toy Story.
Yeah.
It looked like where he grew up.
And if you go out there, you can leave... Like, you can leave dolls. So, I mean, there are a lot of dolls.
I have some dolls we could take out there.
We are not polluting.
We don't want your dolls, Kim.
There's enough pollution in the earth.
Right.
That's the only thing I have an issue with this is it's just a very lovely island that's just polluted.
I
know.
I believe it was a part of the Aztec.
Wouldn't be any different empire. Than if you went and took a whole bunch of plastic bottles and threw them everywhere.
Right.
I mean, it's just plastic garbage.
Right. Did you say what date that was when it started?
1950s.
What year?
50s. Yeah. Yeah, that's why they're decaying.
It was probably, like you said, an Aztec, like, probably like a great place of worship
to
them.
I'm sure.
And now it's just garbage island.
Mm-hmm. All right. So for my Shit far and save the matches. So, I forgot to look up how to pronounce this place in England.
A place in England?
Yeah. So, I think it's Leicester. We're going to go with that. So, in Leicester, England, 13-year-old Athena Orchard lived with her parents and 6 siblings. She had a cancerous tumor in her head that spread to her spine and left shoulder. Now, unfortunately, on May 28th, 2014, she passed away, and as you can imagine, her family were all devastated. Well, following her death, Josh, your face.
I'm just sitting here, Leicester.
I think it's Leicester, a town in England. Anyway, so following her death, her dad had the hard duty of going through all her stuff. Now, among all the normal things that a 13-year-old would have in her room, there was a full-length mirror. Well, he started to move the mirror, and as he turned it around, he thought, well, shit far, and that's when he saw it. A 3,000-word letter, all written in black pen from Athena. Now, she never mentioned it to anyone, but everyone said it was the kind of thing that she would do. Now, of course, I'm not going to read a 3,000-page word thing.
Thank you.
I mean, all right. 2 hours later. But there'll be a picture of the whole mirror. I mean, it's fully written on this back of this mirror. But I wrote down just a couple sentences. And I think that a lot of it was like, I'm thinking that she tried to write down like just positive things to leave for her family that she knew that they would see after she died. Mm-hmm. So I wrote down a couple of them. And I think this is just the first lines that were written on the mirror. Happiness depends upon ourself. Maybe it's not about the happy ending. Maybe it's about the story. The purpose of life is a life of purpose. The difference between ordinary and extraordinary is that little extra. Happiness is a direction, not a destination. Thank you for existing. Be happy, be free, believe, forever young. You know my name, not my story. I thought that was really cool. Yeah. Just a 13-year-old girl leaving that big message for her. Like 3,000-word letter.
That's crazy.
For her family. Yeah.
I would have never wrote anything that long.
Well, first of all, you probably would have, but it would probably take them 10 years to decipher it. Mm-hmm. Because your words are not very good.
Old.
Old? That has nothing to do with it. Our grandma could write very well.
She had an 8th grade education.
Right? You actually graduated from high school, yet every time you send me a text or write something. How that
happened, I don't know.
Cheating off somebody is what I'm guessing.
Did you go to Monroe Central?
I did.
Evidently, they're letting everyone that pass.
Explains it all.
Hey, now.
They're just letting them pass through.
They do have a high graduation.
I bet they do.
Percentage, but it's hard to fail.
Well, let a dog graduate.
As far as I know, that my class was still the biggest one ever graduated. Yeah, from there.
20, mm-hmm. 20 whole students.
We know who was at the bottom.
They're our rival high school. If our listeners don't know that,
we grew rival, up in the rival high the school,
small out town the right next to their small town.
Right.
Yeah, we do not like them. Wipe your hiney people.
Oh, their colors hilarious. Are the brown and yellow, the color gold. Of poop and pee.
It's gold, brown and gold. We are the Bears.
Right.
Poop and pee.
All right, guys. Well.
I don't even like sports, and we still gotta.
All right. So join us on Patreon. So as I mentioned, I got this mystery from Patreon, and I'm going to ask another question for all of our Patreons who are listening. If you have visited a place that ever gave you the creeps, you should tell us on Patreon because I want to know. So share your story on Patreon. I want to hear about it. We'll make a post, or you can post it with this episode. Share your story with us. Follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Facebook at Shane and Josh's Rabbit Hole. And you'll stay up to date on all of our mysteries, whenever we travel on our adventures, whenever Kim is mean mugging, or when she's making butthole blankets, you'll know all the deets.
My butthole blanket's getting really close to being done.
It's probably going to be done before this episode drops. It's at its
climax.
Yes. All right, guys. Well, we will see you there. And our Unmasked episode is going to be next. So hopefully we're going to see you there.
Yeah. We'll talk at you later.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.